run away. The fruits of all our labors have left us as we started. We've come too far to end it in a day. But everything we do is wrong. A woman should know we're all alone. Look around and tell me what you see. Another stupid bitch of history.
No one together. No one is touching ground. Look at each other. Chaos is all around.
Same situation. Nothing is really new.
No one together. No one is me and you.
Blow the horn of plenty. The first thing at the seam. The harvest of the world will be our prize. We claim to know the secret. The answers have been found, but how can one fool make another wise? Nothing's better than it used to be. We'll live and die through a mystery. Take away and we give nothing back. We just assume it all still we lack.
No one together. No one is touching ground. Look at each other. Chaos is all around.
Same situation. Nothing is really new.
No one together. No one is me and you.
They had to fly us so quickly now. You can feel it drawing
much closer now.
The signs are in the faces of the people in the street. The signs are in the sounds I hear. The voices will remain and fear.
You can feel it drawing. All that was lost is found.
New situation.
do. We're all together. Everyone is me and you.
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's Weekly Call. Today is Monday, December 4th, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over a radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support NLA by purchasing the books, Government by Consent, or Government or Court Access and the Common Law, and support our business partners, of which the proceeds could go to support NLA, to support our effort to save our republic. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in 1 Corinthians, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet, show I unto you a more excellent way.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions out there or any announcements?
We have just a couple questions. It starts with a comment.
Okay.
Lately, the Monday calls seem to be turning into a legal counsel show for John. Perhaps those kinds of questions could be handled at a different time or different way. We know the courts are corrupt until devolution ends. First question. In Wisconsin, a sheriff in Columbia County, which is an NLA stronghold, claims he can be disciplined or fired by the governor, which is Democratic Tony Evers, if he exercises his constitutional authority beyond where the current governor may tolerate. Does the government have this authority over sheriff?
Well, no. There's only a couple of ways a sheriff can be removed from office. I believe he could be removed through impeachment, probably through the state legislature, possibly. Not too sure on that. I'll have to look into that possibility. The people can fire him, of course. They can do a recall or just not vote for him the next time around. The people brought him in, and the people can take him out. Again, I'm not too sure about the legislature because the sheriff is a very special elected office, and he's there to protect the people, to protect our rights. Certainly no other elected individual or appointed individual or any other oath taker within office has any power or authority to remove the sheriff. Now, there are some exceptions to that. And that would be where the sheriff has been done away with as far as being elected, like Connecticut, for instance. The governor in Connecticut, I don't know whether they call them sheriffs anymore. They call them something else, but they replace some other position in the sheriff's office. But the governor appoints them, and the governor can remove them. And, of course, that's unlawful to begin with. They're not real sheriffs if they are called sheriffs. We have seven counties here in New York, where the sheriffs have been lost. The five counties of New York do not have a sheriff. I believe they're appointed by the mayor. I'm not too sure, but I think that's the case in New York City. So if the mayor can appoint them, the mayor can fire them. Now, we have to change this, of course. We have to come back under the common law, which we're a common law republic, so sheriffs are a requirement. It's an impossibility to have a common law republic without a sheriff. The sheriff is the keeper of the law. He's the chief law enforcer. He's the final word of the law, sort of in the streets, so to speak. Again, I don't know what the situation is out there, but I'd like to hear more about that. If something's going on, I'd like to know about that. I'd like to look into it myself. I'd like to get more specifics. So whoever wrote that question, maybe they can come on a Monday night program and bring us with more information, or they can send something to questions and just give us some more details. Whatever amount of information necessary to get us those details would be fine, but try to keep it not too long, keep it a little short. But stepping back to the beginning of the question, it's kind of hard to try to figure out how far, how much I should speak concerning the law. The law is part of who we are. The law is part of our heritage is in the law. That's the key. Our heritage is in the law. And liberty is our heritage. So we must know the law in order to know our liberties, in order to protect our liberties, to defend them, So we do have to have these conversations. After all, you know, we wrote two books. One, of course, is Government by Consent, which is a law book, ultimately, because, again, it lays out the people's unalienable right to have government by consent. Unfortunately, people are ignorant to that particular right, number one. And number two, those who want to get involved, they have no understanding of the law to be able to do it properly. You know, the necessary things that we need to know in order to have government by consent should be taught in schools, and I should hope we can get to that point where we can do that. I've given a lot of thought to that. I've written a lot of papers, a lot of books, and collectively I can pull things together and create curriculum for children in school. The other book, of course, is Court Access in the Common Law. And again, you know, due process is the key. And if you don't know the process of law, if you don't know how to access the court, and you don't know the common law, and you don't know how due process operates, then you're in trouble. And then you've put your hands into the, you know, your life into the hands of a bar attorney, unfortunately, who operates in civil law courts. And civil law courts, of course, need to go. We have to get rid of civil law courts. They have no part in America. There's only, courts of equity and courts of law. Now, courts of equity might be able to be seen a little bit, might be able to call it civil law, but it really isn't. It's legislative law, of course. It is statutes statutes and rules and different things, regulations, codes. Generally speaking, it's all called codes. And all that is necessary in order to control the commercial activities, to restrict them in certain ways, to require certain things of them as they do business to the people, for the people. Same thing with government agencies. They need to be controlled. And of course, that's what, again, equity is all about, legislative law. Legislative law, obviously, is not to control the people. Again, we're under law, which is common law, period. So, in order to be protected, we have to understand the Fifth Amendment, which gives us the due process. We have to understand the Seventh Amendment, which gives us the common law. And most people have no clue of those things. And again, as I said, they don't know how to go through the courts. They don't have to defend themselves and protect themselves. You know, we have a right to counsel, okay? That's the Sixth Amendment. But counsel doesn't require it to be a bar attorney, nor does it require, anybody could be your counsel. You can, take anyone on for that purpose. But of course, it'd be ridiculous to take someone on who doesn't know due process, and you should know due process. So we can't really cancel out that part of the conversation on a Monday night program, because it is definitely important to what it is that we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. But I do agree sometimes I go too deep into some things which we shouldn't be doing, into a particular case, for instance. And I'm going to try to keep it much shorter. Unfortunately, people come and ask questions when they're in trouble and they're stuck in a situation and they don't have time to learn the law. Well, therein is a lesson for all of us. We should know the law now, because you never know when you have to defend yourself. And you definitely don't want to put yourself into the hands of a bar attorney, or any attorney or lawyer for that fact. You know, to bring counsel in, you should run your own case. You should be able to articulate your own case. Some people have a problem articulating maybe in public. So, that should be dealt with and learned in school, actually. Everyone should learn to be able to address a group of people, be able to get up on a stage and talk. And that could be overcome and learned in school. But anyway, in any event, it can be wise to get counseling and to have a counselor sit with you, and if you want to pay that person to do that. But again, you have to control your own case. Because if you don't know your own case and you don't understand your own case and you really don't understand what's going on and you don't understand how much you're being hoodwinked all too often. So again, the Fifth, the Sixth, and the Seventh Amendment is extremely important concerning the due process, the common law, and a right to a counsel for defense. And again, I just mentioned it one more time, liberty is our heritage, and heritage is the law. It's in the law. But I will, you know, again, people, when I respond to people in questions on a particular case, you know, I'm going to, like I said, try to shorten it up, but I'm also going to let them know that they got to take the course or go someplace else to learn the process. I can give you some information, but then they have to know what to do with it. They have to be able to articulate it. They have to be able to write it. They have to be able to defend it. And they have to be able to understand what are the consequences and what is going to be the reaction in the court and how they're going to have to deal with whatever comes about from, you know, your response to their response. So, again, this should be something we all should have learned in school. We didn't. You should learn it now. It's extremely important, and we need to make sure our children learn it when they're young. Was there any other part of that question I didn't get? I think that was really the two points that I discussed. Right, Jan?
Yeah, that was good. Good. The next question. Can you give a weekly or monthly update on what major successes NLA has had each week or month, or are major successes not happening that often?
Well, we don't get too many successes. We didn't expect to, never did. At least, you know, once I started dabbling in the court, so to speak, and realizing that all has been lost, the common law has been lost, our unalienable rights have been lost, the Bill of Rights is in the can, it's out. None of that exists. People can fantasize, they can think that it's there, they can stick their head in the sand, whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter. I'm here to tell you it's not there anymore. Every time you go in, if you go up against the status quo, they're going to throw you out under Rule 12 constantly, consistently, because they don't want to hear from little people like us. They don't want to know nothing about it. They make up rules. They have rules that are destructive, and they make up rules as they go. And when the rule is used against them, they ignore it. They ignore everything, anything that goes on in the court. But again, you know, if you're in a court when you're battling someone else who's a nobody like you or me, then they may not care. They might make a good decision under those cases and give the illusion that after all, you came here for justice and we're going to give it to you and you got rights and we're going to protect it and all that other BS, because that's all it is from them. It's BS. Now, what is NLA really doing? NLA is really trying to wake the people up. NLA is trying to wake the people up to get an education, to understand what's going on, and to be able to defend it, and to take this nation back. That's what NLA is doing. We've written huge numbers of cases, hundreds of cases in the federal courts and other courts, all the way down even to the town courts. And we've had a couple of successes here or there, very far and in between. The key thing about anybody who does have a case that has been lost, you can resurrect it after devolution. But to wait till after devolution before going and learning these things and understanding these things and getting involved in these things, it doesn't make any sense at all, because once you get to a point where you can have a court of justice, then what? Especially if you're stuck in a situation, accused of something, or a family member is accused of something, or whatever the case may be. Well, now you got to go learn it. Why would people wait? You need to know it now. You should have known it. But now that you know that you should have known it, you don't know it, now you could know it. So NLA, of course, has an educational process. I mean, we have all kinds. As a matter of fact, we'll just take some time to think about this and look at these things. If you go to Education Starts Here, we have a huge amount of information here. This course, the courses that we have really cover an in-depth things concerning the common law, and of course we have the deepest course we have, of course, is court access in the common law, and that teaches you everything you need to know about court access, how it works, how discovery works, what's the process, the procedures, how to write papers. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, tremendous amount of information, but our education doesn't stop there. We have a higher education, and in those higher educations, you know, we have, for instance, we have educational videos. We have other information on the law that gives you some information on that. We have topical information. We also have the great works. We've got a lot of the, well, I think it would be under the law. Let me see. No, it's not there. Okay, I'm not too sure. It might be under, let's see, articles. Yeah, I think it's under articles. Well, let's just look under articles and let's look under American history. American history, we have a tremendous amount of information there. We have the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. You know, that in itself is an education because that is the conversation that our founding fathers had in order to create the Constitution, to come up with the conclusion, to create this great nation we have. We have American history lectures. We have lectures or information on Christianity in America. We have founding fathers and political parties, the founding documents, biographies, the 5,000-year leap. As a matter of fact, the 5,000-year leap we have there in MP3, and it's also in PDFs. Same thing with the Anti-Federalist Papers. We have that in MP3s, and so you can download them and put them in your MP3 player or phone or whatever, or your computer or whatever you want. So you can read along with it as it's being read. So we have a tremendous amount of information on this. Now, I know there is a place here we have the books. I think maybe this is it, the PDF books. This might be a classical education. Yeah, right here, this is the highest education right here. This gets back into the great works and the great conversations. And the great conversation is all about God and the law. That's the great conversation. That's the big discussion that's been going on for 1,000 years. You know, at some point in time, maybe people can find time to get into that, but it is a lot of information, a lot of information. But anyway, there's a good video on a classical education here. Anybody hasn't seen this video, they should definitely want to watch this video on a classical education. Okay, so anyway, we do have a lot of information on an education. That's what we do at National Liberty Alliance. Just to bring up the courses, we do have lots of courses, and we have a foundation study that's free. We have a constitutional course 101 introduction, that's free. We have a civics course, that's free. We have a free militia course. Government by consent course, we just ask you to be a premium member for that, $5 a month or more, and you can get into that course. And then we have jury administrator accredited course. Again, that is a free course, but you have to be, again, a premium member for that. And then, as I mentioned before, we do have the court access and the common law course. Just to take a quick look at this, I know we've reviewed some of this before, but we might have some new people that haven't seen this yet. This is the table of contents. So this is what we cover in this course. It's a very in-depth course. I think it's pretty exhaustive course as far as a law course is concerned. And from the perspective of the common law, it does deal to some degree with civil law in the sense that it doesn't apply to us. And, we have cases that we've written, powerful, powerful cases, good examples, many, many memorandums, I don't know, 20, 30 memorandums, maybe more, I don't remember. But we have a tremendous amount of information on this. So the other thing, of course, that NLA is doing is building committees of safety. Start a committee of safety. It just starts right there. Click the button and follow the breadcrumb trail. And this is really the most important thing we're doing. It's coupled with education, of course, because if you're not educated, you really can't execute and exercise a real committee of safety. But a committee of safety can be organized and created as you get in your education. You don't need a high education to get a committee of safety going, but you do have to understand some principles and certain things. And we teach all that in handbooks, the whole process. And you should be taking the civics course, the constitutional course. If you don't know the Constitution, how do you know they're violating it? How do you know when they write a law that law does or does not violate the Constitution? This is the problem. 90%, maybe 95%, maybe even higher than that, of whatever laws that they've been writing for God knows how long is all unconstitutional. And people don't realize it. Why? because they don't know the law. Our heritage is in the law. Liberty is our heritage. And every time they write something that's anti-constitutional, it's repugnant to the Constitution, it's destructive to our liberty, it's destructive to our heritage. People don't realize that we've already lost America. It's still there, buried and controlled by you know, these evil people. And the chances of getting it back without Trump had been pretty slim. But we do have, there's no doubt in my mind we're going to get it back. But once we get it back, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to step up? And because liberty is not free. Liberty does not protect itself. It requires a little bit of your time. Matter of fact, a lot less time if you are educated properly. But, you know, you have to spend time educating yourself as well as organizing, as well as participating in committees in your county and subcommittees, controlling all of the different elected individuals, whether it be congressman out in Washington or your senator or representative in your state local governments that you have to deal with, the boards. Maybe the board members or whatever the case may be, you need to take control over them. And we can have 100% control. They will be totally obedient to us if we were organized, educated, and had enough people involved to take their nation back. So it's not all about having successes. We've been building, and again, our court cases were done in a specific way with specific purposes, with specific focuses. We were focusing in on ultimately, anything with people losing their homes to begin with, okay? A lot of cases, for instance, habeas corpuses. So certain cases we really kind of focused in on because we're going to prove the fact that the federal judiciary they're guilty of treason, the whole lot of them. There's not one federal judge that's not guilty of treason. Now, they may be somewhat ignorant to some degree, but I don't think on the federal level they really are. They are the ones that created this whole process and have stolen our liberty. They've stolen our right of due process. They've stolen our courts of justice. Okay, so you don't even know that unless you have an education, at least a little bit of an education, and you walk into the courts to see what they're really doing and what's really going on and how people are being destroyed. Watch what they're doing to Trump. They've been doing that to us for a long, long time, a long, long time. So, again, it's up to us to fix the problem and get educated. But, again, all these cases, that's the nails in their coffin. Because all the cases, the way they dealt with the cases, their response, and how they dealt with everything that we've done in the federal courts, and we have hundreds of cases involved here, they've all dealt with it the same way. Didn't matter whether they were a federal judge in California or a federal judge in New York, Florida, Missouri. It doesn't matter where they're at. They all operate the same way. That proves a conspiracy. And the whole thing is destroy our republic. And we've already written a paper, about 250, 260 pages, maybe more. We're going to add to it. And we will be filing that into the court, which is going to be, I'm not sure exactly how we may approach it. It's an indictment on the federal judiciary. It's a demand for them to cease and desist. It's a demand for them to leave office. We're not going to pursue specifically, directly, the law as far as subversion is concerned. We're going to talk about it. But that's going to be up to others to do that because that's too big a job for, us at NLA to begin with. But really, the people who have been injured, okay, they owe a lot of answers to those people and their entire career in their courtrooms, okay, has been subversive and destructive. People dying, people going to jail for long periods of time, families destroyed. Children left homeless because, and then goes into the system because maybe their parents went to jail. I mean, all kinds. The destruction that they have put forward is greater than all the wars that the United States has ever fought, and I believe that. Because just think about all the court cases that have gone in, and all the people have been destroyed over this. Look at the IRS alone, the destruction that particular organization has done, and the courts set it up, and they set a blind eye towards it. So what have we done is successes. Our success has not hit yet. That's the success we're going to have, No doubt in my mind, no doubt in my heart, we're going to get that success. As far as taking our courts back, bringing them back to courts of justice, and removing all these judges, they have to go. They cannot stay. And the Bar Association needs to shut down. They have to go. They cannot stay. But that's not going to happen this side of devolution. But preparedness is now. To be prepared for that, to set the stage for that, to get all of the evidence together for that. That's what we've been doing. Now, some people, you know, they expect to come see something and get instant success and whatever it is. We've had a lot of people who've come here and asked for help. We've given them help, and then they disappear. They haven't come back to give back to the people, you know. They've got much information free. They may not have been successful, but nevertheless, they should understand if they spend the time to understand what exactly it is we are doing and what exactly, you know, what kind of success do we have, do we really have, or expect to have? That's the question. So there's a lot going on here. So again, starting the Committee of Safety, we have so much information. The most important page of this, of course, you start right there and you follow through, you'll end up on this page, which is handbooks, videos, because this breaks all the information down. Here's all the handbooks to give all the education necessary to take our nation back. Here is all of the different videos and audios and PowerPoints that you can be used in order to educate each other and to come to an understanding of the problems, the situations, and the solutions. So that's what NLA is all about. And those people who really understand that and see that, those are the people that hang around. The problem is the percentage of people that hang around to get involved is very low compared to the exposure that we've given. For instance, on the right-hand side of our website, if you come down on the right side, you'll see how many members we have. We have almost 11,000 members at this point in time. Okay. Now, 11,000 members gives us a very small percentage of the people that actually really do get active, actually really are creating committees of safety or actually are educating themselves. Very small percent. Nowhere is enough to hit to save America. But, you know, it has taken 12 or so years to really put all this together. And we grew slow. It's good that we didn't grow too fast because we wouldn't be able to sustain that. But now we're ready to sustain pretty much anything. If we had an inflow of 100,000 people or 500,000 people, we can handle that to some degree. But it's those people coming in and the small percentage that will actually step up and do something and not think, well, the other guy's got it. I don't have to worry about it. No, the other guy's thinking the same way. You know, out of every 100 people, maybe we'll get one person, maybe one person out of 100. And that's if we're lucky to get one person out of 100 that'll take things serious and get an education and do something and step up and save this nation. So we need critical mass. We are poised for critical mass. I sort of sit back and say, oh, this is in God's hands now. He's going to send the people or he's not. You know, we are doing God's work. I do believe that because the law really brings us right back to the Bible, the Christian heritage that America is has. But nevertheless, you know, we were looking for interviews. We talk about this all the time. So anybody who thinks they can get an interview, especially maybe a podcast that has a lot of listenership or any kind of a radio station or any place. We used to do a lot of interviews, but we haven't done many lately. But if I can get out to some of these big places, these patriot movements that maybe have 100,000 or a million people or whatever the case may be, once our message goes out to those people, I do believe, no doubt in my mind, we will hit critical mass because people are hungry. A lot of people are out there hungry and really are looking for something to do, and they don't know what to do. You know, I've been to a lot of different places. You listen to people talk. We remember listening to General Flynn talk particularly. I've heard him talk numerous times. I've seen him live one occasion. and always tells people, you got to get up. You got to get involved. You got to get involved. You know, what is he telling them to do? Go out and vote. That's about it. He has no other information. None of these people have any information on what people need or can do. So if we got a message to those people, and they're hard to get a hold of. You know, they're too big, and they got doorkeepers, and you can't get them. We've got about five or six people that we've met at an event. I think it was last year in Pennsylvania. And we've given those five or six people books. Well, we've had a small conversation with them. No doubt in my mind, they never read the book. They didn't take it serious, and that's the way it is. But it's going to take someone to pick it up and realize that NLA's got the solution to America's woes. It's committees of safety and a proper education to save this nation, because one man can't do it. If you're waiting for Trump to do it, okay, he'll take us over the winning line, but then it's up to you. And if you don't do nothing, we'll be right back here again. Just a matter of time. The hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it, the Bible says. So, you know, what is NLA doing? We're doing a lot. The question is, what are you doing? What is everyone else doing? You know, I remember Kennedy's speech, ask not what your country can do, but what you can do for your country. So I turn that back the same way, you know. NLA has something to offer, but it's up to you to do something about it. Any other questions?
No, John, that was the last question. You're all done.
Okay. Thank you. All right, I don't know if we've got anybody in the queue. We do have one person, Van, in the queue. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, there should be a button on your app or browser to get into the queue. And if you're on a phone, it's a *6 and a 1. So we're asking questions, comments, corrections, anything you got. I guess that's where we'll go, Q&A. Okay, first person, only person in the queue. Anybody else wants to get in there? Time to get into the queue. Van, you got the mic. Go right ahead. What state are you in, Van?
John, I'm in Texas.
Van from Texas.
Yes. I've called in once before in the past. It's been a little while since I've been back into this. I am a member now. My question is, it kind of goes with the other one. They were talking about successes and what's been going on and how's it been going. On the site, there's not a place to go to that says anything about any, even if it's a gazelle type of small success. I'd like to hear or know the organizations of other counties around me, the people that I've contacted. They're not really organized. It's not really, the information isn't there. It's like nothing's really happening. The organization is very, very slow. I don't know why and what's up. I'm trying to motivate things, but like you said, it's the knowledge and the education you need first. And I'm really building on my knowledge. I've got your book. I've been reading it. And I've got several other books I've been reading. It's like hard to just concentrate on one and get it all in. So what do you think about it?
Well, look, we do have some people out there that are building committees of safety that are following the process and are moving along. There's a few of them out there. You know, let's go over back over to the right-hand side of our website, and then I'll try to answer your questions here. We have supposed to have a total of 170 county committees of safety being organized. Now, that could mean just one person, okay? And, you know, for some people, And technology has injured people, in my opinion. These smartphones have really injured people. You know, every time I make a phone call, I know I've mentioned this before, but it doesn't matter. I make a phone call to a government agency, the medical services, large corporations, people you want to do business with, and you get stuck with AI. It's like playing chess to get away through AI and get to a person on the phone. Some places, no matter how much you play chess with them, so to speak, on the phone, you can't get through to them. And this mentality has rolled over to people. People don't want to answer the phone. They don't pick up the phone. And even if you leave a voice message, they get back to you. And this happened just this week. About 3 or 4 phone calls I made, left a message. They get back to me in a text. And, you know, maybe days or a week later, I'll see the text because I don't bother with text. But they expect that everyone is doing text. But it's like people are afraid to talk. And the longer they continue with that, then the more afraid they will become. And people are timid to some, a lot of people are timid to some degree, especially if they're going to speak to a lot of people. So some people have a problem maybe making the phone calls. They don't know what to say, what to do. And I always try to tell people, look, it's just a matter of just meeting one person to discuss little things. It doesn't matter, but we're interested in doing something in our county and so on and so forth. And, you know, hey, why don't we meet for coffee next Thursday at this time, or just meet online or on the phone or whatever. But it's got to, at some point, it's got to get personal. And once you have two people together, now you got two minds working on things. Two people, one might be a little better in this area, be able to, one in that area, speaking, whatever the case may be. People, one person may be a people person, and a good articulator, and that's what you eventually look for. But then you get three people, five people, six people, 12 people. You know, once you get between six and 12 people, then you have an event. And then we lay out how to have that event. We lay the whole process out. You could do it all through videos. You could do it through PowerPoints. It doesn't matter. There's numerous ways you can lay the event out. And we give a lot of information on where to have those meetings. And we also give a lot of information and ideas on what kind of groups are available in almost every county that you can get a hold of. Of course, we lay the whole process out. Now, a couple of problems we have, and this is a common problem with people. We got a plan here, and we got a handbook. Okay, people come in and they hear a little bit of information, what's going on. Oh yeah, then they start a group, but they're not following the plan, and they start building things the way they want to build it, and they kind of go off track on it, and they're going to create more problems than solve problems. They may even get themselves in trouble at some point, but, you know, you have to be organized. You have to understand how things work, you know. You have to understand how to go and approach a board, maybe a school board or a town board or whatever the case may be. You have to understand how to bring them under correction, to bring them under the will of the people. And that's only going to happen if you follow the plan, get educated, get the sheriff on your side, and be ready to serve papers at that meeting, because you can go for the oaths and bonds. And pull them. They got 10 days to respond. They most likely won't respond. They lose their office. You take their office. Anybody could take their seat. You run for another election. If it's not close by, if it's close by, you just wait for the election. But whatever the case may be, there's a lot of ways people can take control and do things. But, you know, here at National Liberty Alliance, we can only put the information out. We can lead the horse to water, so to speak, but we can't make him drink it. But we will, if we do discover a group that's growing and they're doing things in a way that's not in alliance with what we're in harmony and in alliance with what we're teaching here, then we'll cut that person off as a connection, and we'll just rebuild another group in that county as time goes on, because they're only going to get themselves in trouble. And again, it's a wrongdoing to think that you can go correct people and you don't know the law that needs to be corrected them for what they violated, what they're doing. You need to know the power and the authority of the people, too, and what you can do. So all of these things are necessary. So it's up to the people to work this out, to do something about it. But again, we've had a couple of habeas corpuses that went through. We had a couple of people where they backed off and their houses were saved. And I think there's still a lot of people that are still fighting. Once you understand when they try to take your home, whether it's a mortgage company or the tax people have learned a game to move fast now. They used to take as long as the mortgage companies, but I see them turn things around in a year, which is pretty fast. But when a mortgage company tries to take your home, for instance, it could take 5, 6, 7, 8 years. If you're giving them a hard time, if you're showing up in the court because they'll have a court every month, you know, 12 times a year you'll be in court. And it'll go on and on and on and on and on and on. You see, they're trying to wear you out to the point where you don't show up, and then they can start making some moves. And they start to change things behind the scenes, you know, behind the curtains. Next thing you know, you don't no longer own your property. You go down to the county building, you look up and you find out your name isn't on it no more. And there's still more of a process after that. Okay, and eventually they throw you out. They have the sheriff throw you out as if you're a renter, and it's really disgusting. But it's called a non-judicial foreclosure. All foreclosures are non-judicial and lawful. Go ahead, Ben. What?
That's just not right to do that. That kind of foreclosure.
IRS goes with non-judicial. I don't want to call it a foreclosure, but their cases, whether they're criminal or whatever, they're non-judicial. That's not a real court. They rent out the room and they hire a judge out of that federal building. They hire him, and they pay him a salary, and he comes in and rules the court, and he gets a big bonus if he gets a guilty. So you know what's going to happen on that. They do everything they can to prevent a jury from getting involved. And they play all kinds of games. I mean, there's a list of games that they play. No justice in the courts. It doesn't exist no more. People think it's
going to happen. A bunch of them out there. It's information overload on your site. I love it. I like the information you're giving freely and really at a good deal. I'm very amazed. I've really been, it's like I said, it's overload. I'm just going through it and trying to pick up and get all this stuff down the best way I can. I love the way your courses are and how they're set up. It's really helping me out on my education. One thing that our system has spelled upon us is giving us proper civics courses, even for me as a 64-year-old man going through the 60s of school. We did not get proper education in any of this. And I've looked at your dates on the ABA in 1936 and things like that and concurred and looked back and did my research and due diligence and look at this stuff because I can't. You never know when it's a CIA psyop going on in front of you or what. So I'm just very particular about how I do things and what I'm going through. I appreciate you answering my question. Thank you.
All right. There is a lot of information because we wanted to give a lot of information. We want to go beyond just a regular education. People don't need to go to the highest education. But they really need to go through at least the education of understanding common law and due process. You must know that, and without that, you're just going to be snookered all day long every time. But in our site, there are really two tabs you really want to pay attention to. One is education, and it's just a matter of following the breadcrumb trail. If you just click on Education Starts Here, click on that, read through it, and follow the breadcrumbs, and it'll bring you to all the places you need to go and things you need to know. So that's your education. Simultaneously, okay, click on Start a Committee of Safety. It only takes one person to get it started, get your number up there, try to find a partner, a third partner, a fourth partner. Like I said, get to half a dozen to a dozen people and have your big event, and you should be able to end up with 20, 30 people at the time the big event takes place. If you get enough people coming, you'd be surprised how many people will get involved if you lay it out properly and you understand it properly and you teach people properly. And in no time, we can teach you how to get hundreds and hundreds of people in your county involved. Many hands make light work. So that's where we want to go. So those are the two breadcrumb trails you want to follow. The other thing on our site, and maybe a lot of people don't realize this, but if you come down here towards the bottom, it's not really towards the bottom, but a good halfway down, okay, you see the statistics concerning National Liberty Alliance here. And by the way, there's no one in the queue if anybody wants to get in, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. But, you know, you can see who's online at the moment. Let's see, let me refresh this page right now. Okay, there's only a few people online right now, but you can see who's online at the moment. You can see upcoming events that flow up here. You can see recent content. So anytime we add something new, put a new video on, or a new piece of education, or whatever, if you just check this area every day or as many times as you come out in a week, and you can get updated on all the latest things. There's also all the most recent comments, okay, listed up. Then we have a lot of other information, of course, on the right side of the website. But, you know, you can keep up with things, on what's going on, conversations going on, meetings happening, and videos that are being new and put up. And you can follow that along right here on the right-hand side of the website. It can be pretty simple if you realize, again, our main focus is education and starting the Committee of Safety. Now, look at today's issues. This is important stuff here. I mean, if you just every once in a while say, okay, let me go into today's issue, let me click on Anarchy USA. And there's videos here, really powerful videos on this page, okay, that teach you a lot about what's been going on. And this is, you know, particularly with the communist movement or socialist movement in the country, slavery movement, and who the Democrats really are, and how they've snookered the black people and made them to think that they're their savior, when in fact they're the ones keeping people, so to speak, on the plantation, because they want to keep them down. It's important for them. For them, it's a vote, and it's a blind vote, and so, you know, this reveals it all. But anyway, that's an important issue to look at. We do have certain NLA Monday open forums that were special. We put a video up here. You know, electromagnetic pulse protection, you'll find that tab on the right side. People should be very much understanding of this, because I'll tell you what, you know, I've been listening to the news and, you know, through alternative news, of course, and it's beginning to make me think there's going to be an atomic bomb blown off. But Q had said a long time ago, he said on a couple occasions, and I know it's been brought up a lot recently on some of the news I've been listening to, watch for water. So I think something like it's going to happen over the water and, you know, over the ocean. And the whole thing really is just to wake the people up. But there's going to be a blast maybe or something, or some event anyway. But if we do have an EMP, okay, an electromagnetic pulse, or we do have a sun flare, which again is electromagnetic pulse, and next year that's big. Well, if your home isn't protected, everything in your house, everything that's electronic is going to fry. Your car is going to fry. Your generator is going to fry. Your computers are going to fry. Your laptop's going to fry. Your cell phone's going to fry. It doesn't have to be plugged in. It doesn't have to be turned on. It's all going to fry, okay, unless you protect it. All right? So this is an important page here that people should need to look at, and it's not that expensive to protect your house. And so, you know, you can go out and get an EMP shield and put it on your home. I got one in my home, I got one in my car, and I got one in my generator. But in order to work on your generator, though, you have to have a battery on your generator. So if you don't have I don't know whether you can put a battery. I guess you could connect a battery on your generator and make a connection just to have it for the protection. You'd have to talk to an electrician. I mean, but if your generator is set up with a battery where you just go push the button, that system is ready to go. All you have to do is put the shield on. Because it has to have that electric flow into that EMP box. And a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, we've been unprotected for a long time. And our government has known we've been unprotected for a long time. They didn't want us protected. But in 2017, Trump did something about it when he went into office. And by 2019, he had the entire grid protected across the United States. So all of our grid is protected. Our satellites are protected. They have to be put into a certain mode. Satellites have to be put into a certain mode when they know an EMP is on the way. So it could be problematic if an EMP was, if a bomb was blown off up in space, I guess. I don't know what kind of effect it would have on satellites up there. But I do know a sun flare, okay, will destroy satellites. Matter of fact, two or three years ago, Musk lost 20 satellites because he was unable to move. I think they were new satellites. They weren't in position yet, and they couldn't put them into the proper mode in order to protect it. They knew a sun flare was coming, and they just couldn't get it done in time. They lost 20 satellites. But he's got hundreds, potentially thousands of satellites up there, and they're all protected from sun flares. But again, is your home protected? Is your computer protected? Is your cell phone protected? Anything plugged into your house. If you've got a computer and it's plugged in and your house is protected, you're protected. If you have a laptop, it's you either have to have it plugged in or you have to put it into an EMP bag. Those are available.
I'm going to have to look into this because I'm an engineer by trade. And I'm sitting here looking at this plugged-in device. I'm a little leery because I know how EMPs
are
grounded and so forth and so on.
I understand your leeriness. I was too. But if you watch through this, the individuals who were contracted by the government through Trump, who Trump contracted, who installed all of these devices across America on our infrastructure and are selling this particular product, same people, okay, There's interviews concerning these people. There's a couple of videos up here going through the details, how it works and how it is that it protects you. And this thing not only protects you.
I'll look into that for sure.
Yeah, go through the page, and then I'd like to get your thoughts after that, after you've gone through everything, because if you've got more of a background than I do in it. Because of your you said you're an electrician or something?
I'm an engineer, aeronautical, primarily manufacturing design. So.
Okay, so you'll understand a lot more than I would on these things.
Well, lightning strike on an airplane is a pretty critical thing we got to protect. So lightning strike on a vehicle and lightning strike on your house and things of that sort.
This protection from a lightning strike also.
Yeah, I saw that. That I can understand. All of it, even EMPs, are about grounding. Mm-hmm. Everything has to be grounded.
And the speed.
And the battery. Mainly your battery or your phone. You got to have everything protected.
As far as a phone is concerned, the phone, you know, you can get EMP bags. And if you know, we know what a sunflare is going to hit. We know 24 hours or 18 hours before it actually hits the earth.
I built my house. It's primarily out of, really, it's a steel home. It's. I'm encapsulated in a Faraday cage.
So you okay?
My car in a garage, and I'm totally protected.
Yeah. If you're out in the streets, you're not going to be protected.
No.
Yeah, but I got one in my car. It sticks on the firewall in my car. There's only two wires to connect, and there's a little tiny green light that you can see that it's on when you set the car off or when you put the car on. It's always on. It's connected to the battery all the time. It connects the whole circuitry, and it protects the entire car hit by lightning or an EMP. It's protected. But, yeah, I'll tell you what, because you have a good background in the engineering here, maybe once you finish this, you can come back another day and tell me what your thinking is then.
Oh, yeah, you get that. I'll definitely look into it.
Okay, thank you. Hey, anything else, Ben?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Thank
you. All right. We do have one other person in the queue. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and you should be able to see a button if you're on an app or a browser. Okay, next one is John. How you doing, John? Been a while since we spoke.
Hey, John. John here in Michigan.
You got the mic.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hey, you talk about small victories or whatever like that. We just had a meeting last Saturday, and that was like 10, 11 people there. It was very, very good. We were setting things up. We've got them organized for the next 3 months also for committees of safety. Very confident it's going to grow. We talked about education. We talked about the EMPs. We talked about setting up subcommittees. It was interesting. I'm just saying I was very, very encouraged by the whole thing. So, I mean, you know, people looking for small victories, I guess that was a small victory, and we met some really, really good people. So,
absolutely. You've got a good sheriff down that way, too, and hopefully a few good sheriffs, but in any event, you've got Sheriff Dar down there. I don't know if he's in your group, isn't he, Sheriff Dar, or is he next door to you?
He's next county, about 3 miles from him. But I mean, I'm good friends with Dar. I've known him for a long time, and he's a superstar. It's interesting to talk to the man. So
this is what we really need. We need people who are starting committees of safety to come up and tell us what they're doing. And even if it's only five or six people together right now trying to work things out, we'd like to hear about that. And mm-hmm. And people should be coming asking questions. I know. We've had some groups where people picked up off of our website, started organizing a group within their counties when we were early on, and they never really led them to National Liberty Alliance, and they were controlling the whole thing and taking them in a different direction. And on a few occasions, we had to cut some people off because of that, because they were going really across the crossing lines that they should never cross. But in any event, that's what we need. We need people who are coming. We're trying to set the first Monday of every month, and today is the first Monday of every month, where we focus in on committees of safety, where the leaderships would come, but they haven't been coming, and a couple of them have, don't get me wrong, and there are a couple of them that really are doing good work, but I do think we will be successful once we hit critical mass and we get enough people that really will take things serious and do something in the counties. You know, to take back America, we don't really need that many people. I believe I calculated it up as 300,000. If you figure we got about 3,000 counties and we have 100 people per county, which is sufficient enough to have government by consent. But once you have 100, you'll have 200, 300, 400 in no time. But that's 300,000 people across America. And there's, what, I think 350 million people in America. So that's a very small percentage of people we really need. You know, I heard years ago, I forget who it was that said this, but it's been mimicked many times after, you know, that government is local. All government is local. And that's what people need to understand. All government and all local. Thomas Jefferson said, we don't have government by consent. We don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts that they have less than three, the enemy I'm talking about, has less than 300,000 people involved in taking control of this whole process. Okay? And if we can get 300,000 people, we would take it back. You know, of course, that would be have to be properly divided among the 3,000 counties, roughly speaking. But again, critical mass will come. We have to get out our message to the millions. And if we can get it out to the millions, I know we'll get to 300,000. And then we will be moving.
Well, you know, that's what I told the guys at the meeting. I mean, guys, we ladies. Basically, we're probably after every one out of every 3,000, 4,000 people. Mm-hmm. If you had that, I mean, if you had a county with 300,000 people, if you had one out of every 1,000, it'd be 300 members. Okay, so one out of every 3,000 would be 100 members. So if you had 10 people there, that's the equivalent of 30,000 people. Truthfully.
Well, I do believe. Let's say you had 20 people or 30 people. Okay, let's say you had 25 people, mm-hmm. and you're building, you're working your committees of safety. You went through the process. You got the sheriff on board, and you're doing things 3, 4, 5 months now, and the sheriff is with you, and he's going to come with you to the board meetings. Okay, so now if you do things properly, you know, and you notify the individuals that live in particular school districts, you know, the families, all of the people, it'd be grandparents and parents and so on, even students, because you'd be hitting the colleges also. I forget the number. I think it's something like, I think we have 13 school districts in my county, but it may be more adding the colleges. I don't remember, but it's quite a few. But if you just go to one, your first one, and you have the sheriff on board with you, and you understand how the process works, how to remove these people from power through filing a paper demanding their oaths and their bonds, okay? And you have the sheriff with you, and you have all this paperwork pre-written out, and the sheriff has the papers in his back pocket to be served. And you notify all of the families within that county, and you will fill that room. They'll be standing room only, and you'll be going out the doors because people are really concerned and interested about the children's education and what's going on, the demoralizing and all the things going on. They're not teaching them anything worth anything. They're destroying our children's minds. They're destroying them. If I had young children, I would not let them go to school. And my children didn't go to school anyway. We homeschooled. But I would not let them go to school. I'd homeschool them. But the thing is you will fill that room up. And when you go in there with power and authority, and you have one speaker, you have a meeting prior, you pull all these families and all these people together at a preliminary meeting for the school district, going in to talk to the school district, we're going to take our schools back, we're going to require proper education, come on, participate with us, we'll show you how to do it, become part of it. You will get a lot of people to respond to that. And when those people come to the meeting and you lay it out what you're doing and you plan out how you're going to go and you discuss what issues you want to bring up and what they're going to be required of these schools, what they're doing, what you don't want them to do, what curriculum they're teaching, what you don't want them to teach and what you do want them to teach, and you lay all that out and you have one spokesman who gets up and delivers it to the board, and then they demand immediate obedience and commitment at that meeting. If they refuse to do it, you then let them know that you're going to serve them and require, and you have the sheriff come up and serve the individuals, which is basically a notice and demand, for oaths and bonds. They now have 10 days to come up with their oaths or bonds. Probably not going to do it. And then they're off the board. They're gone. And the families take over. When that happens, your committee of safety is going to grow in leaps and bounds. And if you have 12, 13, 14, 15 school districts within your county, okay, every time you go to a school district and do that, you're going to pull up dozens or more, you know, scores of people. You'll be growing in leaps and bounds in no time. By the time you get through your county just on scoreboards, I'm sure you have many hundreds, if not 1,000 people involved. That's how you're going to grow. But you have to do it right. You have to have the paperwork. You have to understand the process. You got to get the sheriff on board. And you have to have your meetings, and you have to get educated. And if you do, and we laid the whole thing out. You know, this is not anything. It's not rocket science to begin with. It's just basic knowledge and process and procedure of whatever it is that you're doing. And so that's it. Then you start moving to your and you could be doing this at the same time. Remember, there's numerous subcommittees. When you grow up that quick and you get 100 people, you have lots of subcommittees. And one of the basic powerful subcommittees is the one dealing with the town boards. People, you know, a subcommittee teaching the political committees, and they break up into dealing with town problems, county problems, and then collectively with other counties with state problems. And then they come together, they go visit a board, remove them from office too. The sheriff comes in, serves the papers, they're out of there. Okay? You bring on a new vote to vote people in. Meanwhile, anybody can seize control of their seats and continue the process to bring things back to where it belongs. You see, this is government by consent. This is the power of the people. This is the unalienable right of the people to have that government by consent. But we have to be educated.
Have you, as far as oath of office, someplace I heard that if a person does not have an oath of office, then they're not in office.
But I don't know the process.
Pardon?
You can take their seat, their political seat.
I understand that. But, I mean, if they're in office without an oath, are they not impersonating a public official? And isn't that a felony?
Well, everything, I could be. I don't know. I haven't thought about that. But definitely anything they've done is unlawful from that point forward because they didn't take the oath, so it has no power, no oomph.
Right. And also, if they've been collecting a paycheck and they don't have an oath of office, they're stealing public money because they're not in office, too. I mean, that's probably got to be a felony.
You could make a case on that way. I can see that, yes.
You know, I mean, if you dress up like a police officer, put a gun on your hip and go drive around and start trying to arrest people, and you're not a police officer, whatever like that, that's probably illegal also. I mean, this is basically the same thing.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. But bear in mind also that a police officer, yes, imitating a police officer is a crime. I mean, that's just logical. Forget about any codes. We don't need a code for that. But nevertheless, remember that a police officer is making a citizen's arrest. She's not actually making the arrest. The arrest takes place when he brings him to the county jail. And they process him. That's when the sheriff makes the actual arrest, because only the sheriff has the power to truly arrest right out. But they set up police departments, and it's really, even though they write a paper up and they swear to it and they bring it in and they call it arrest and blah blah blah, but it doesn't officially take place until they get him to the prison, to the county jail. So, you know, so you have a place where you don't have sheriffs, for instance, there's really no lawful process taking place.
Mm-hmm.
You can't serve a warrant. Only the sheriff can serve a warrant. There is nobody else who can serve a warrant.
You have a sheriff or his deputies or just the sheriff?
Sheriff's department, yeah. Any deputy to sheriff, of course. But, yeah, the police can't serve a warrant. They can't execute a warrant. Only the sheriff can. The IRS serves warrants through the mail. And that's a crime on so many levels, okay? But... you know, but people are ignorant. They don't know it. They've been doing it for a long time. They're getting away with it. Nobody even thinks about it. They don't even realize it's illegal and unlawful. Sheriffs don't even know, at least most of them.
It's education, that's for sure. You know, I mean, and I hope and pray, and I've told this to people many, many times, I hope and pray we can do this without violence. I think when you get to violence, you've lost most of it already. You know, I mean, and I don't hate anybody. I just want everybody to leave me alone.
Yeah, I hear you. Just leave me alone. Well, look, there's going to be violence. It's coming. It's very close. We have, I don't know how many million. You hear so many different things, but recently I heard in Congress when they were having discussion, at a C-SPAN. Actually, the C-SPANs are repeated all over YouTube. You can catch them. But in any event, I've heard as little as 4 million and as large as 8 million people. And I've heard about 3 million just since this clown's been in office has come across the border. And that's the ones that they know came across. Okay, and we know that a lot of terrorists have come across, and it's not just people from South America, there's people from all over the world, Middle East, everything coming in to this country, China even, and they're coming in through our southern border, and they're getting into the United States, and they're moving to all of the major cities, okay, and the whole thing, the bringing in of all these people is all about getting them to come in and put votes to begin, to be able to count votes, to give them to dead people and the people that they haven't removed off of the scrolls for God knows how long. I know we talked about this 20 years ago, and they still haven't removed the dead people and people who've moved out and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of people on the registry. They have names, but they don't vote. And these are the people, they'll come and fill those positions. But they'll also be used in order to get riots going in the streets. They got to do violence. That's where they're at. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen across America. It's going to happen in the major cities. And it's even going to span out from the cities into smaller townships, north, south, east, or west of the cities. And so we do have to be prepared for protection. I don't think it's going to be an all-out war on the streets, but you may be in a situation where you have to protect your home. And so people should be aware of that and ready for that. But other than that, it's really up to the military to take care of this. We've heard from Q when Q was reporting, and the Anons, in particular SG lately, we've heard that they've been watching these people. They know where they're at. They know the game plan. I've even heard that their communications links have been taken over by white hats posing as the black hats. And they'll be corralled very quickly, I hear. And I think I've read or heard 10 days is the period of time it's going to take to take this, take these people down when they come into the streets. Look what has happened over the past years, with these different groups, destroyed cities, set them on fire, police departments, police cars, and nobody's doing anything with them, And why do you think they're getting rid of police? Why do you think they want to defund them? They want as minimum cops in the streets. People better be ready for this. It's coming. That's going to be the thing that's going to finally wake the people up. It's unfortunate. It's got to happen, because there's no other way to finish waking the people up. I think a lot of people are being woken up to their pocketbooks, because you can't afford to live anymore these days. But there's going to be violence, and we shouldn't get involved in it, only to protect ourselves and our own homes, but we should stay away from it.
Yeah, everybody's got their own job to do at home, and know your neighbors, that's for sure. Keep it local.
Absolutely. Anything else, John?
Nothing to know. I just say, people were asking for positive things, And I think when they talk about positive things, they want to have something earth-shaking. And most earth-shaking things are just a combination of a bunch of small things coming together. And I want to encourage people to know that. Hey, take the small victories. I talked to two or three people this month or this week or whatever like that, and I got some good response. Those are positive things. They really are, And you just add them all up together, and it makes a big thing, so...
Well, try to encourage the people in your groups and the people next door to you that you're involved with in Sheriff Tarr's group area there, and try to encourage them to come out to NLA, get an education here. Even if they don't come to the Monday night meetings, which they should, but they don't have to come. They can download the Monday night meetings. We have all of our meetings recorded. Just click on our Monday night call, and the information to join us right underneath that is every meeting we've had since our inception, and we're here every Monday. We've been here for many, many years now, And so we have meetings that have, we've been recording going back to 2012.
Okay. Right. And it's education. You know, I mean, they have to educate themselves, as you said. I think that's the key to know what it is. You know, if you don't know what you got to lose, you don't know when you lost it, okay? And if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So,
well, you definitely need at least one person in your group. More is merrier. I mean, even I'd love to see everybody in the group get this education. But at least one person in your group should have the education of court access and the common law, because then they can be an advisor to the whole group on the law. And then they can always come here to NLA if they have get stuck on a situation. They need some information. You know, if we don't have the answers, we'll help them find the answer. But there should be someone in every group that has some law background. And we're talking common law background, you know. Find if you're a regular lawyer who realized the problem with the bar and realized the problem in the courts and comes and takes a common law course, okay, that guy probably will have a lot of abilities to really give a lot of advice because he understands both sides, he or she. So.
But, all right, well, thank you. I just want to say that because everybody gets discouraged. I get discouraged, and but, you know, take the small victories. They're victories, okay?
Absolutely.
Take the small victories.
Absolutely. All right. Well, again, you know, I hope people that have the committees of safety going will eventually get here and start participating up here for their education. It's critical because if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson.
John, there's a lot of smart people out there. There's a lot of people on our side, and they have to be just motivated. I'm not sure how you do it. But there's a lot of smart people out there. I met a bunch of them the other day. I'm meeting some every day. So don't get discouraged.
Well, no, I'm not discouraged. I believe everything's in God's hand. So I don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Well, will be done, and that is that. Nothing going to interfere with God's will, whatever that might be. Okay, thanks a lot, John.
You bet.
Okay, we got one other person in the queue. Anybody else wants to get in the queue? Star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, and hit that enter the queue button if you're on an app or a browser. Take our next caller. Not sure, is that Ashley?
No, that's my wife, Ashley. My name is Alvin Vigner.
Alvin, what state you from?
Louisiana.
Alvin from Louisiana. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking for the access code because I want to do the common law course, and I already paid my $125 like 2 months ago, but I never did get the access code. And
Send an email to Jan, J-A-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Give them your name, phone number, and tell them you're looking to get – well, it's not an access code. We were given an access code when we were live in order to get into the live course. But all of the courses have been completed, and they're all on video. You're coming in on a phone. You can't see my desktop, obviously, right?
No.
By the way, if you have a smartphone, you can get an app for that and come in on an app and be able to see the desktop. But there are two. Once the buttons are flipped, okay. If you paid through the mail, then Jan has to turn the buttons on for you. And I think I remember your name, Alvin, and I think I spoke with Jan about you. But in any event,
I pay with money order.
Okay. If you paid by credit card, the buttons automatically flip and you can get access right away. If you paid by
money order.
Right. If you pay by mail, then Jan has to flip the buttons. And I think we're having problems finding you at the time. But in any event, once you get once Jan flips the buttons for you and gives you access. You'll come under and he'll give instructions in the email. But you come under education starts here, and you come down to three blocks down to court access in the common law, and you'll see two new tabs that'll open up. One is court access recorded video course, and the other one is court access table of contents. So you hit the video.
Okay.
And once you hit the video course. You get some information, and you start with the introduction, part A, first video on the top, and you work your way through. Each one of these videos are about 3 to 3.5 to 4 hours long. I think the whole course is 90 hours altogether. So you got all these videos you can go through. At the bottom of the videos, you have MP3s. So I know for me, you know, if I was going through the course, and I've done courses of different things before, I've done a lot of studying through MP3s. Once you read through the information and you get the MP3s, you can put them in your car, you can put them in your phone, you can put them in an MP3 player, and you can listen to them on the fly. And once you've gone through the video courses, now you can listen to the courses through the MP3s, and you know, with your mind's eye, will pick up memory of what you're doing, and you'll be able to sink it deeper into your brain and be able to master access to it a lot quicker as you are to whatever it is. Now, the other thing under the same tab, okay, come to Court Access and the Common Law, come to the right, you click on Court Access Table of Contents. And that gives you a quick view to be able to find information. Let's say you wanted to come in here and get some information on pleadings. And you'll see, pleadings is chapter 2, is pleadings. And we list out all of the different things we cover in the pleadings and all of the different, all the paperwork, the forms, everything involved. Maybe you want information on a cause of action. How am I going to develop my case? I have to have a cause of action. What causes of actions might I be able to use? And you go through all the cause of actions and so on, defenses, motions, memorandums of laws, the rules, the petit, the grand jury book, and the trial jury handbook. Got lots of case examples, and so on. And we also have a lot of online resources. So this course is a very, very rich course, and I do believe it's a far greater course than course you can get by going to law school. I truly believe that. And we only charge $125 for the course. And this is forever. We will, this is indefinitely. This course will be available to you indefinitely. You can come back and take it over and over and over again. Anybody in your household, you can come. They can come and take it.
Okay, I appreciate it. I got an issue about the right of way to the road to my home. I'm the only house on the street, and it's the only street in St. John the Baptist Parish that's not paved. And a long time ago, when the people that owned the land, they started putting houses from the railroad track towards the Mississippi River. And there was only 3 houses before the people passed away that owned the land, and 2 of the houses burned down at the same time, but one at a different time. And so I'm the only house on West 16th Street. Now, the person that bought the land after we purchased the house and land, he bought a certain tract of land that doesn't have any homes, utilities, or anything on it. And what he did was he's claiming a right of way. He even punched me in my face one time when I was putting out the garbage because I came up on the West 16th Street to put my garbage can out. So he punched me in the face, and he's been holding us hostage for around 10 years now that we can't use the right of way. And even our utility company, St. John the Baptist Parish, has water lines in the servitude itself. But he's claiming that the road belongs to him, and he's been holding us hostage. He even had me arrested for trespassing one time after he punched me in the face. He had me arrested for trespassing on his private. He claimed it's his private property. Yeah, but it really ain't. We got in the paperwork right away is privileges, servitudes, and stuff like that. But so that's why I'm looking to take the law course because
Have you talked with the sheriff?
Yes, I talked with the sheriff. They're the one that arrested me for trespassing. You know, they say it's his land. Because he has a court, he claimed he has a court order, but we was never involved in that court order.
Hold on.
The sheriff says he. Right.
Hold on. Look, there's a process called notice and demand. Okay. But of course, you do have to take the course because notice and demand is part of due process. And sometimes notice and demand can work prior to court. And if you follow the process, I think there are 8 points to be made on a notice and demand. If you cover all 8 points, make it clear to what this is all about, it's a situation you're setting up for a default in court. Because when they fail to respond to the notice and demand, okay, and they're fully informed of the power and the authority of that notice and demand and what the process is after that. If you write it up correctly, and we do have it, we have it laid right out in a form that you can just kind of follow through and put your information in. So once you serve that on to that person, they have 30 days to do what has to be done or respond to you and give you a plan on how they're going to deal with this problem. But they have to respond. If they don't respond, you can then move it into your regular court, you know, your state court. You could do a county. I wouldn't go to county. I'd go to the state court. So you go to the court in your county, the state court in your county, and you file an action, and you bring in a show cause on why a default shouldn't be taken against the person because you've already filed and they already defaulted. Now, you may have to go through a second default in the court depending on the judge, and it depends on your paperwork and how well you can articulate the case. But you can get it through that way. But you need to dig in and get all the necessary information to show what the true state of that piece of land, that road, or whatever it is, what is the true state of that. And then you not only you can sue them for that, you can sue them for all the grief, the 10 years of grief, the assault, even to the, and I'll tell you what, I would sue the sheriff too, because he should know better. He should be able to look into the law to see if you find out that guy does not have full control over that piece of property and that sheriff executed the sheriff's department's authority on behalf of someone else that was a fraud situation, the sheriff should have been able to look into that and know that. I'd sue the sheriff too. I'd sue him all involved. So anyway, you have to have the education. And once you get a reasonable amount of education and you understand what you have to do, you know, you can come and ask some questions. We can give you some answers and you'll be able to understand the answers then.
Okay. Brady, this is Jan. I'm looking through the Louisiana membership rolls and I don't find you on the list. Have you joined NLA yet?
No, my name is Alvin Dickner. The phone I'm using is my wife's phone, Ashley Brady.
Okay, hold on a second. I need to copy on Ogden, O-G-D-E-N. And what was your last name?
Alvin Dickner, V-I-C-K-N-A-I-R.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we spoke about him, Jan, I think a while back, and we were trying to find him, Alvin, because that name jumped up. I only know one other Alvin down in New York City.
How do you spell Ogden?
A-L-V-I-N.
Yeah, Alvin.
Alvin.
Like A-L. Alvin.
Let me go to the run.
All right, while he's doing that, anything else, Alvin?
No, I appreciate your help. And like you said, I mean, I'm just going to have to, you know, do my studying and get in the law course and take, you know, find out what I need to do and how properly to do it.
All right, 6 months, a year from now, whenever you feel comfortable, you can then go on the court, but you have to learn it first.
And, right.
You know, you some of this stuff you can learn very quickly, but you really, to get the skill in court, it really takes a little time. And I think anybody that picks things up reasonably easy could really do well within a year. Even though it's only 90 hours long, but, you know, it takes a while to really soak in all this stuff. And the biggest thing to learn is writing, how to write. And that comes from reading other people's papers. I mean, look, we have a lot of papers in this course, but we also have a lot of papers under federal court cases on a blue tab here. If you go there, underneath here, we got lots of cases. We got an action against YouTube, an action against the judiciary, and we have the federal court cases. We have lists of them, and you can come in here and read our papers And this will give you skill of writing and proper language and and things that are common to the court and your wherefore clause and, you know, all kinds of information. But again, writing skill comes from reading. That's where that comes from. And then actually writing. And the best way to write a case is once you write it down just the way it is, and you just fill it out on paper. It doesn't matter how you write it, what words you use. And then you come back and you start looking for better words, better phrases. You organize a little better, you know, and so on and so forth. And you just go through it maybe over and over. I mean, any case I write, I read through it at least 10 times and probably a lot more than that, too. But I'm always massaging it, always looking back, always, you know, changing things, a new phrase, a new word. Or add things that I forgot, or put in something that's constitutional to support my case, or whatever the case may be, you know.
Yeah, look, I pull a lot of stuff off your website and I copy it up, and I got a lot of paperwork that I took off the website, cases and stuff like that that y'all put on the website. I got that. I got the book just a couple of days ago, Governed by Consent, and I got the common law handbook.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. So, well, that's
yeah, I've been copying things off of your website for a long time, good long time now.
Mm-hmm. All right, well,
the only thing I didn't see nothing about the YouTube case.
Oh,
well, I know they got the YouTube case.
Side of our website, on up on the blue bar, all the way towards the right side, the second tab from the last, you highlight federal court case, and you come down.
Right. Yeah, that's where I pull everything I can off of there.
Okay.
I go to the library in my county, and that's where I get it printed up.
Yeah, and cut and paste a lot of different information on different cases. You know, you can pull out a whole block, a whole paragraph that might apply to your case, and you just, you know, fill in the necessary information to make it apply to your case. But, you know, that's how you write a case. I've got a lot of experience in the courts now. I've written a lot of papers, and I've responded to a lot of papers from lawyers, and I start to see a pattern here. They all say the same thing over and over again. If they use all the same cut and paste stuff, I mean, a federal, when I go in and against a U.S. attorney, it's the same thing all the time. And it's usually against the IRS or the Federal Reserve or against even the federal judiciary. So these U.S. attorneys, they come in with the same papers, the same court cases, the same BS. And half the time, it doesn't even apply to their case anyway. They just want to bog you down with paperwork, you know. And
right.
You know, and there's solutions and strategies against all that stuff. They're not thinkers. They cannot respond to what you write, or at least not what I write. You know, I mean, I've been doing this for a while. I've been researching for a while and studying cases for a while. And all my papers are unique. I've written them myself. And I've got a lot of stuff. They cannot answer my papers. They always get me thrown out because I always go up against the status quo. They always get me thrown out in Rule 12 bit all the time. But that's okay. I'll be back. I'm waiting for devolution to finish. I got a lot of money collecting to make from all these people and all these judges.
Yeah. Now, I first heard about National Liberty Alliance through the YouTube station called You Are Law.
Oh, good.
And that's where I heard you you speak out there. And then, you know, from there, I've been doing whatever I could, you know.
Yeah, that's coming how important up it is important for me to get interviews. That's where our success is going to be, because that's what's going to bring us critical mass. And it's up to the people coming here that are listening to see different places that I might be able to speak, maybe make a first contact with someone, maybe their local radio stations, maybe it's a station they've been listening to, maybe it's a podcast, maybe someone they've been following. And if they can make initial contact with that person and tell them about National Liberty Alliance and then get the contact information to Jan, and Jan's at nationalliberty.org, then he can kind of make the connection for me, set me up with first contact, and set up an interview. And that's how we're gonna get success. So, look, this is up to everybody to work with us to get us these interviews. We need interviews.
Yeah,
Alvin.
You
have been set up for the course for, I don't know, a couple 3 weeks now. Have you tried to access it, and are you able to?
I'm computer illiterate, but my son out here knows a lot about it. He's the one that's helping me out all the computer and stuff. We got a laptop here, but right now he's sleeping, and so I'll check tomorrow. I'll get him to check tomorrow about that.
Send him another email if you can, Jan.
Okay. I'll just send another one direct to you.
Yeah, and make sure you go onto your computer to make sure when you come to the website that you're actually logged in, because if you're not logged in, you're not going to see the page.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm going to make sure I'm actually logged in.
All right. Are we done?
Yeah. One other thing. Donald Trump is my president.
Well, anyway,
he always will be.
He still is president, I believe, anyway. So.
Oh, I know he still is, but I don't know why why QAnon is allowing this stuff with Joe Biden to go on.
Because the people, enough people aren't awake yet. Look, a lot of people are awake. I've heard as much as 70%. I hope that that's true. 70%, maybe, you know, could be enough, but we need more. And when the assault comes on American soil, that's when people are going to wake up. Everyone will. And we'll have 90%. There's always 10% dead. You know, they're just dead heads.
But right after the election, Joe Biden got on national TV and said we had launched the most extensive voter fraud campaign in American history. The military should have moved in right there and arrested him and put him to a tribunal.
Yeah, we all kind of hoped for that, but the people, it wasn't ready. He's got to get the people behind him. He had to spend his time and make the case and show the people. People had to see. They have to know. Look, at when you get onto the website, go on to, under Welcome, you should see, I think this is where I put it. Let's see. Welcome. No. Well, anyway, go to x22.com. Okay.
X22.com. Yeah, I know about X. Yeah.
X22.com. And start listening to, he's got videos and audios on there. Start listening to his videos. He comes out 6 days a week, I believe.
I'm familiar with X22.com, and I don't know how many times I've been on your website, on National Liberty website. I know, I know it because I go to it pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, looking for
the new cases or something like that that I don't have, you know, so I can copy it, you know, photocopy it and keep it in my records.
Yeah, well, if you got a computer, you should save these pages. If they're PDFs, save them to your computer and then organize it in your computer. This way you can cut and paste. There's a lot of Word. When you get into the course, you're going to get everything you need in the course. You're going to have forms. You'll be able to download a form. It'll be in Microsoft Word. And once you click edit on the top, because it's not editable till you click it, and when you open that up, you can fill in the form, and use it for different process for motions and different things. But all the stuff we have there is all cut and paste.
And so these forms, I can put them on a flash drive and download them on a flash drive, right?
Yeah, or you could download them right on the computer, though. You want to build a library, and you want to build it on the computer, because once you build on the computer and you write your case, you go into all this information, you cut and paste. You can put it in book.
Okay.
Because I got almost everything I have on book form also. And not only do I have the two books, of course, but I've got many, many books of information that I've filled out and, you know, different cases and different things, and so I can refer to. But I also have it all on my computer, because when I'm writing, I cut and paste a lot, you know?
Yeah. Well, cool, yeah.
We're going to take our next caller. We're running short on time, and we got one other.
Okay, I'm going to get that done.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take our next caller. Anthony, West Virginia, how you doing? You got the mic. Anthony, West Virginia, you got the mic. 304, area code.
Yeah, I'm right here. It's Anthony from West Virginia. How you doing?
Good.
Just wanted to check in. I've been the district coordinator for District 7 now for a few months, and things have been pretty slow. I just wanted to check in and let Alvin know that he's, he's still listening, that I'd love to talk with him and help him get started with his COS. He also said he wanted to start a COS, and I'm looking for people to do that.
All right. Well, Alvin, I'm sure you're listening. You can get in touch with Anthony. He's on, he must have your information. Have you made contact with Alvin before?
No, I have not. He's new. He wouldn't be on my list. I'm sure I've got an older database.
Okay. And which district are you in? You're in District 7, right?
Yep, right. I got Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi.
Okay, so you don't mind me giving the number on this?
No.
Okay.
No, haven't given me a call.
Alvin, his number, Anthony's number is 304, area code 304-716-6393. Let me repeat that. It's area code 304-716-6393. You can also find him under the directory, and you come down District Coordinators, and you'll see him District 7, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else? Anything else?
When you're there, Alvin, if you're listening, just be sure and check on the state of Louisiana and sign yourself up as a COS leader there so we can get a COS started in your county.
You might have to help him do that, Anthony. Because
yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to it. I've got family in Louisiana as well. My mama grew up in White Castle, Louisiana. I know that street, the main street, was a gravel road when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I fell in a ditch there once. You know, they had a ditch for sewage right there. You ever been hosed off in the middle of the street? That's a true story. Yeah. But anyway, good chatting with you always, John, and I hope to get things fired up a little bit better. Life's been getting in the way. But I'm always talking to people, and handing out cards. And when I'm on Gab, I always mention National Liberty Alliance to people who are complaining and wanting to be able to do something. And I'm hoping that some of that is generating some new activity that I'm not aware of.
One out of 100, luckily.
Yeah. If anybody checks in and says, Anthony sent me, that's definitely from me off of Gab.
Okay. Well, look,
it's a long shot, but yeah, I keep at it.
You get one out of 100. I listen to so many people complain. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and I tell them what things that they can do, but then they don't go do it. They just want to complain. I mean, and again, you know, people are afraid to make contact with other people, it seems. We're being created that way, in a sense. We're being, what would you call it, almost hypnotized to it, because people are too used to doing that text thing. And I know there's one place I've spoken at and others to speak a lot at, and there's quite a few people, and we always give them, they always complain, we tell them, hey, this is what you can do, let's get involved, let's take the nation, and none of them respond.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't respond. So like I said, maybe one out of 100, and then you'll get maybe one out of 1,000 that really, really gets deep into it, you know, but one out of 100 may respond and get involved and participate.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been doing this for a long time, John, just trying to rouse people. When I was in Montana, I started what I called a closed circuit radio station. I'd make CDs and I'd hand CDs out to people with a message on it. When I was in Daly City, California, I was running for office, and I would just hang. I would hang my newsletter. I call it Ears to Hear, and I just hang them in my neighborhood. You know, hundreds of and I would never get any responses. I'd never get any responses. One response I got was a negative response. But you know, when people care. When I was in Montana, I lived in a little town called Clyde Park, Montana, had less than 318 water meters, okay? So that's how big the town was. And they were talking about zoning. And I had just got there. I was new there. I hadn't been there more than 7 months or so. But I made my mind up. I contacted everybody in that town. I mailed to everybody in that town. And I went door to door and I hung flyers to make sure people would get the word. And do you know people showed up for that zoning meeting? And they showed up for two zoning meetings, and they haven't had zoning in Clyde Park since then. Mm-hmm. And a few people thanked me for doing that. So sometimes one person can really make a difference.
Well, that's then, like, hit the right buzz, though. I mean, again, I think it's the right buzz.
The chemistry has to be right, mm-hmm. you know? And so anyway... God is good. We know that for sure. We trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding and all our ways. We acknowledge Him and He'll direct our paths. So that's the prime directive for me. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And well, at least that's what I say. The Bible doesn't say that, but I say love your neighbor as yourself.
Well, He says that. The Bible says that. That's the Bible. Yeah.
I say love your enemy as your friend. That's the part that love your enemy as your friend. I forgot to left that part out.
Well, God tells us to love our enemies too.
And, yeah.
But anyway,
pray for them.
We do have Under Education Starts Here. If you're interested, we have a Bible study that we have every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, and it's also recorded, so you can, you know, people want to go and listen to the recordings. It's video recorded, and we have audio recording. So, but anyway, anybody interested?
I'll probably time shift that, but I might check in once in a while. We have a Wednesday night church, and I go there at 6 o'clock. And then once in a while, I'm in the, we have worship practice, and every once in a while, I'll be sitting in with the worship team there. But, Wednesday nights are good. I'm gonna check in on that. You know, we just gotta press into the Lord, and then we're safe. You know,
we have we post them also up on Rumble, and we post them on YouTube. And I'm kind of surprised. We've got quite a few people listening in on Rumble. You know, our first part one of our Bible study, we had 1,100 hits and. Half of them, 582 hits, were unique views. So obviously, out of the 582, people came back two or three times or whatever. And it's been pretty good. I mean, you kind of lose people as you go along, and that's a shame. I think it's a good study. But we are getting good response, a lot better than I thought. You know, I thought we'd get out, maybe we'll get a dozen people interested. You know, not many people seem to be interested in these days in Bible studies. But we do have, you know, quite a few people that have been responding. So.
That's great. They sure like their football. I'd like to figure out a way to get them away from ball games and back to church, you know.
Yeah.
They're hypnotized. They're really hypnotized, like you said. I believe that.
You know, we're a Christian nation, and I remember when I was a kid, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and when I was a kid, I remember on a Sunday, bars would not open. You couldn't buy liquor stores wouldn't open until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. A lot of stores will close, actually, until like noontime. And I know certain states, like Pennsylvania had the blue law. I don't think they have the... Jen, do they have the blue law out there anymore? The blue law, the liquor stores and bars wouldn't open to be open on Sundays at all. They had to close at 3 in the morning, the latest, or something like that, on a Saturday night. and that's it. Maybe even earlier than I don't remember. But
yeah, they're all gone, John.
One more
long, yeah. Long gone.
Yeah, it's been many, many years. So, but you know, there was a lot of respect, and we were a Christian nation. Yep. Period. End of subject. Nothing to talk about. But you know, things have changed. It's a shame. You know, so.
I do, and I just pray. You know, one thing I wanted to share with you is the Lord blessed me with some funds that I was able to buy a house here where I live in West Virginia, and it's dedicated to him. I'm going to hopefully, and people are starting to talk about it. I've only had it for several months, and I'm praying that the Lord's going to, it's his house. I've got a lot next door that can be turned into a parking lot. I want this place to be a prayer house for the Lord. And, you know, we're not going to have any electronics in there. People come in to pray. They're going to check their football and basketball and baseball conversations at the door. They're going to put their notepads or their telephones on the porch. When we go inside, it's going to be time dedicated to praying for the Lord and worshiping our God. And we're going to just have acoustic music, and I'm not even sure I'll have a keyboard in there because I may not want to put a big piano in the small house. It'll take up too much room. But I'm praying for the Lord. He's going to bring people. I know he is, and I'm looking, and, you know, I'm just an old chauvinist, and I'm looking to gather men so men can take their place back in our society. And I think it's been a real sad thing to see happen, where men have just been undermined and their position as leader of the home, and with the whole thing about women's liberation and all that, it's been just been taken away the structure of the family, and that was the structure of society.
Absolutely. Look, the deck was stacked against us, and I see it coming all the way back in the early 60s. I saw it come. Not that I saw it then. I didn't understand it. Okay.
Exactly. Me too.
And I look at it and said, "Wow, what was going on?" I remember when they took Christ out of Christmas and they put the X in there, Xmas.
Mm-hmm.
It was an appalling thing by the adults around me when I was a kid. I remember that very clearly. Everybody was upset with that. You know. And
I do, and you know, I have a card. I have a Christmas card that was made by my mother and father before my brother was born. Now this had to be like in 1938 or so. They were married, and you know, this card is a picture of them saying "Happy Holidays." I couldn't believe that this was going on even way back then.
Yeah.
You know, a Christmas card that just says "Happy Holidays" in 1938. My own mother and father was giving out Christmas cards that said "Happy Holidays."
Well, you know, again, that's always been around because you know,
been a long time.
But the thing is when it became mainstream and been pushed on, and everybody was going a different direction. You know, that's
right.
You see, since then, I go back. Again, my consciousness is very late 50s and early 60s. I'm conscious of, as a child, though. You know, I didn't really know what to do.
Right.
I just heard, you know. And I had no opinion, obviously. But my opinion was my parents' opinion, you know. So.
But, I know that one.
But, yeah, when I look back, I saw it so clearly. It's a mess. And now what do? They demoralize our children, you know. They have these guys dressed up in dresses coming in drag and shaking their rear ends in children's face, and they're mutilating kids and getting away with it. I mean, look at where is family? Where is this family caught now? That they don't do anything about that. You want to talk about child abuse? I think mutilating children is child abuse to the extreme.
But they'll put you in jail if you spank them.
Yeah, unbelievable. But you can mutilate them now. So.
Right, oh, silence is consent. We got to figure out a way to remove our consent by not being silent. That's why I say we need millions of us. I'd love to be able to do it with 300,000. I like your number. Well, anyway, God bless you. I'll let you guys go.
we have in my county, this will give you a good idea on how many people you need to do what needs to be done. In my county, if you look at the elected committeemen, which are not elected, it's the statutory committeemen, they're controlled by the elite. But if you look at that process, which used to be who we are, the committees of safety is the true committeemen. We have 249 election districts in my county. So we have 249 positions to be filled, and that's what they use to take control. But they only need to fill about half of them to get the job done. So for us, it's the same thing. So if you have 125 people, roughly speaking, you know, it's easy sailing on the work that needs to be done to take government, have government by consent. But when you hit 200 or 300 or 400 people in a county, at that point, the work is going to be real light, because you have a lot of people working on problems and coming to solutions and then executing the solutions and making things happen. And again, it's all written up in the books that we have here out on our website, the handbooks for the committees of safety. You know, all you have to do is download the books at PDF. The Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook, right there. Just follow the plan, you know.
If Alvin's still listening, I'd encourage him to download those two things right there as soon as he can and get them under his belt while he's working on his stuff, when he has a little time to sit down and read, get his committee safety started.
Have you spoken to Ed lately? Jan, have you spoken to Ed? I wonder how he's doing. I heard he was ill for a while. Jan, have you spoken to Ed lately?
No, it's been probably 2 to 3 weeks. I got an email from him a week ago.
Is he doing better?
Yeah, a little.
Last time I heard, he was down. I haven't spoke with him for a while. But he did send me the database for my states. But if there's an updated database, I'd love to get it.
Well, just ask Jan for it. He could probably get it for you. How often do you update the database, Jan? For Ed, you know, or does Ed get it himself?
The database?
Yeah, information. You know, there's list of people in the state, for instance.
Yeah, he has access to it.
Okay. Well, he probably sent me a current database. That was about 3 months ago.
Well, I'm sure there's more since then, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see how Ed's doing. Maybe you can give him a call.
If you want a database for a given state, I can send you that.
Sure. I have Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi, and then I'm also the state coordinator for West Virginia.
Texas, Alabama, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. District 7.
Okay. Yeah, I can take care of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
With that, we're going to end our program. I appreciate the call there.
Oh, you're welcome, John. Always nice. Talk to you soon.
All right. We'll take one other call. I see someone else just jumped into the queue. We'll spend just a few minutes. It looks like Ricardo. What state are you from? You got the mic.
Yes, sir. Big guy from North Dakota. See, is there a database for, I don't know, I haven't looked up what district North Dakota would be in, but is there a district leader for whatever North Dakota's in?
Well, you're talking about a district leader for the state?
Well, yes.
Are you looking to make contact with one, or are you looking to become a district leader?
Either or.
Oh, okay. Well, then... right now, I guess the best thing, Jan, is to contact you, right? I mean, I don't know. Okay. Again, Ed's been down for a while.
Okay. All right, so, I can get a hold of Jan. And then I had picked up your book, The Common Law Court Handbook.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you wrote the other one. It was called Meet Your Straw Man. And
no.
The other one was the UCC Connection, How to Free Yourself from Legal Tyranny.
I got them
off the web.
Yeah, I got
them off the NLA website, so.
You didn't get them off our website, no.
Yeah, I ordered them right off the in a column and right inside of the NLA website. That's where I got them from. I was looking on there.
Here's the books that I've written. You're on the phone. You can't see the
I can see. I'm on.
Okay. Well, here's the books that I've written. They're underneath Welcome, and Come Down to Books by John Durash. These are all the books I've written here. Okay. So, now I have more books that I've written that's in PDF form only. All these books, by the way, are free for a PDF download. So you get them in PDF and you print them off, that's fine. Okay. But if you want a handbook that goes into your shirt pocket or your back pocket type thing, then you got to go to Amazon to get them.
Because what I've been going through, the question I have is in a common law court handbook that you wrote, I understand that.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of that book? Is that after I've gone through the course?
Well, this handbook here really gives you a lot of basic information when you go into the court to be able to pull out information while you're in court and articulating your case. So it's a lot of information that might be accessible in it that will help you. The information that I think, at least from my perspective, when I'm in court, this would be handy information for me. So that's how I wrote that book. The purpose of this common law handbook is to assist people in the courtroom by arming them with the information needed off the fly. So you got a lot of information that you might be able to use when you're in the court. But the thing is, just for people to know, when you do go into court and you're not sure what to say or whatever, if something's wrong, you can object, and they'll want to know what you object. And if you can't really articulate well, you can say, well, I just want to make my objection. I'll respond on paper, it's best off often if you're not sure not to say much in court, because they're going to hold you to whatever you say in court.
Right.
It's always best to say, well, I want to respond to that, but I want to respond in writing. And that gives you the time to sit down, think about it, write your paper, and, work it out, get the best you can get together, and then file it in the court.
Are you familiar with that UCC Connection booklet?
I'm familiar with it because when I first got into looking into the law, I was listening to a group of people who spoke about those kind of things. And that's kind of the man on the land stuff. You're not going to get anywhere with it, and it could cause you more problems than it's worth. And if you think you're going to go into court using that stuff, you're going to get crushed.
Well, he's claiming at the time of the writing of that book that he's had 100% success.
Yeah,
but the one thing that I know of, this would work in any court, he's talking about, I reserve all my rights per UCC 1308.
Look, you can't lose your rights anyway. They can't be sold or taken away or anything. You can't transfer them. They're inalienable or inalienable.
But he said not to answer. Just give them the silent treatment, or say living soul is not a... He gets into that part.
Look, it depends on a case, but they have bad positions, and it's only going to sink you deeper and deeper. They've already got defenses against all that stuff, and you're individual. They're going to come out. They're going to crush you, when you go into court. Believe me, I've been there already, and I tried some of that stuff also. And I went and just did my own research. And we got the common law. Our founding fathers laid everything out. We got the Constitution. You have your state constitution. That's where it all begins. Go in and kick butt with that. Now, the problem is they're not obeying the law. But you're building your case. And when we get on the other side of devolution, you're going to be able to open up all those cases. And you got winning cases if you got a just case. It's that simple. But...
Okay.
The other side of things, of course, sometimes you can win a case. I got a couple of cases. I got one in the state court, one in the federal court. They just threw us out on Rule 12. We just appealed, and we're going to go through the appellate process and see where we get through on that. But we also have a case that's kind of connected to that, too, in the state court. And they're trying to do the same thing on the state court. But the judges in the state court, it's been my experience, are a little more timid in the sense of pushing hardcore to someone who knows what they're talking about. Because now they got to put their rear end on the line, so to speak. They got to take a risk to break the law. On the federal courts, they don't care. They're protecting each other. They got each other's back, And they never get thrown out of office, They're never impeached. I mean, Congress, I never even heard of Congress impeaching a judge. And, you know, they all should be impeached. But Congress is crooked.
Yeah. Okay, because on the title of that page, and they were talking about mortgages, how they're bogus. And right. On the top of the page, he has on there, let me get to that page again. I lost it here. Things, special stuff you should know. Taking your birth certificate to court, a certified copy of it. And then everything, including crime and taxes, already prepaid through the birth certificate bond. And his beneficiary talks about that.
SQ accounts, that becomes a problem too. I know someone who pushed through the SQ account. They were living in Connecticut here. And they actually got $150,000 out of the whole thing, cash, okay? That did cash the check. And 30 days later, he just happened to be out of town. They raided his home, knocked on his door, scared the heck out of his family. he's been on the run ever since. I don't know what ever happened to that guy, but they have a quarter more to run. But the thing is, you're playing with fire with that stuff, I'm telling you.
Okay.
You know, there's
right.
other ways to do these things, and that's what I teach. I use the common law. I use court procedure process, due process, and you got the Bill of Rights and the Constitution itself, and you can build your case around the law. Now they're not going to they don't listen to you anyway, no matter which way you go. But at least you're going the right way. Number one, you don't get yourself in trouble.
Okay.
Number two, they feel a little bit leery about you, especially when they realize you know what you're talking about and then you know the law. And that they, because you're showing them that they're doing evil, they're doing wrong over and over and over again in all the paper. I always find when I go into court, every single time, I have to spend the first couple of months, 3, 4, 5 months, just fighting the judge. Because the judge is just working against me all the time. It's just depressing.
Well, the one that was of particular interest is Meet Your Straw Man and whatever you want to know. It was talking about mortgages. Paying taxes is optional. Registering a vehicle is optional. Paying a fine is optional. Attending the court is optional. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. And then every mortgage and loan is fully repaid from day one.
Well, you can
pay it again if you want to.
That's true.
Is that
true? That's why they can't do take you to court through a mortgage foreclosure. They have to do a non-judicial mortgage foreclosure, which is against the law, but it's the appearance of law. Most people are ignorant, don't understand, don't see it, don't know it. They lose their home. Look, I had someone recently. Well, this is going back maybe 3 years where they were losing their home. They were all upset. I said, look, they just sent you the first notice. You'll be there for 5 years. You don't have to pay your mortgage no more. Don't worry about anything. Put money away. Save money. Get ready to move when the time comes. But you can be here for 5 years now. You don't have to pay your mortgage. Maybe even longer than that. And if you learn the law and battle it right, you can be here longer than 5 years. It takes them a long time to shift that property and to go through that plan to make everything look legal and move things over time. And you just got to show up to court and keep denying and telling them they get due process. But there is a battle. There is a way for that. Look, at the IRS, you can beat on their own terms using USC 26 anyway, okay? I lay that out in the course, how to defeat them, and I've already defeated them that way. As far as mortgages are concerned, they're using non-judicial foreclosures. Again, you can eventually move it to the federal court. The problem is you're going up against status quo. You have to go through the appeal process, and you might win it there anyway at some point. But it does cost you a lot of money. Every time you move in the federal court, you go through an appeal. They charge you $500, and it just becomes a problem, of course, financially too. But it's a struggle, but you can win sometimes. And I think the appellate courts, depending on where you're at, you can get justice sometimes. Here, I'm in New York, so they're all corrupt.
Well, I just saw something that New York City is actually the capital of the world.
The economic capital of the world, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Something about the capital of the world and the Vatican is what controls all of the world's financial system.
Well, they have a big knot in it, but they're the religious control. Washington, D.C. is the military-industrial complex control, and London is the economic control. So there are three stars. They all have a flag in all of those three places with three stars on it, and that's their New World Order cabal, whatever you want to call it, thing.
Did you hear this week that gal, that partner that wrote that Fall of the Cabal series, she disappeared? This was three weeks ago?
Sorry, who?
The gal that wrote that book, her and another gal wrote that documentary on the Fall of the Cabal about the Protozoals of Zion, Bill Gates. There was like 24 videos, anywhere from 15 minutes to 45 minutes in length in each one. But there was a, she disappeared.
Huh. I wasn't aware of that. But look at some people, when they feel you're a threat, they just disappear you. You're right.
It's just kind of interesting. There's a guy by the name of that Robert Cody Snodgrass, S-N-O-D-G as in George, R-E-S as in Sam. Robert Cody Snodgrass. I talked to him on the phone. He was on Midnight to Caravan to Midnight. He was on, what the heck is that one? With George Sorey. You know what I'm talking about. He was on that show, and he was talking about he was a 22-year black ops contractor for the CIA, and he quit, and his conscience finally got to him, so he wanted to expose them all, and he said they went after him. He talks all about how Bush was the one that set up all this stuff, and then he got put in this crazy court. He was declared insane. They put him in this accelerated confinement for, I don't know, 2-3 years to drug him up, and so he comes out in the court all drooling. Nobody's going to, no jury's going to believe him anyway, and he showed how they stack the juries, how they get people that look like the jurors that were picked to be on these things, and CIA and the FBI, they'll find people who look like them and sound like them, or they'll teach them how to sound and look like them, and they'll put these people on there, and there's no way you'd ever would win. But then one of his friends was still communicating with him. He knew all about that Benghazi thing. He knew all about the Gaddafi thing, and then also he knew about Iraq. He was a CIA operative, that Iraq guy. He was one of their cronies, and decided he was going rogue on him, and so they had to get rid of him. And anyway, but that he still, I met a guy here in Fargo, North Dakota. He's from northern Iraq. In fact, I met another one who was just over there. And I said, what's it like? Oh, my gosh, it makes this Fargo, North Dakota look like a sand pit. And he said, it's beautiful. He showed me pictures of Kurdistan is where it's at. And he showed me their highway system. He showed their building. Unbelievable. We don't have nothing like that here in this country that's as nice and pretty as that is.
You're giving our money away.
Well, they've been, I've heard some things about that they're looking to rebuild the Center of Financial Control, like the New York, I forget the name of it. But anyway, the World Bank, they were going to be locating it there. But anyway, he showed me pictures of it, and he said, it's unbelievable. Don't listen to the news, he said. It's just, they're not telling anything close to what it's like over there in Iraq. And so it was fun talking. He's a T-Mobile rep in Costco, and he's a good guy. He's a young kid, and I'm trying to get him involved with the National Liberty Alliance. He just returned from a month being over there, and I just talked to him last night, and I didn't have the copy of the book with him, but I'm going to go back over there and give it to him the Common Law Handbook. And he doesn't like what's going on here either. And I said, are you a citizen? Yes, I was born here in America, but my ancestors are from Iraq. And he wanted to go over there and kind of see what it was like. And there's some other people from Iraq that were standing there. I want to go over there. When he showed all those pictures that he had, I want to go there. That's a beautiful place over there. My daughter, about 20 years ago, she did a missions trip to Kurdistan. And she was there for 6 months. And she said, it's just a beautiful country. And the way I said, the only thing I ever see is rocks and sand and hills and, pure poverty. He said, no, it's not like that at all.
Well,
and he said, at least where he was at anyway, northern Kurdistan. And then the guy that I met here in Fargo, another guy, he was a mechanic. He owned a used car dealership and a repair shop. And when all this stuff was going on about that ruler that they found in a cave someplace underground, Gaddafi. I think it was Gaddafi. He said, he's still alive. He said, he's not dead. And then I found out that, no, he's not. He's over in Russia where a lot of the other guys get sent to, because one of the oaths of the curse of Canaan was to take care of your family. Then they don't kill each other. They just pretend like they got killed, and that's why they cremated him. They said they found his body out, and they put it out to sea, but they cremated, so you can't find the evidence to do a DNA test. And so it's just fun talking to these people.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein. He had over 100 lookalikes. This is a guy from northern part of...
200. That's a lot, but...
Well, he lived there. He's from there. He said, you were never going to find Hussein by himself. So there was always lookalikes and somebody that was posing to be him because, you know, everybody was out to get him. And the CIA, whatever reason, they were the ones that set him up in the office, as they did with Gaddafi. They set him up. And what Robert Cordes does, I talked to him on the phone. He actually wrote a book called The Light. And you can probably get it. You can do a search for it. But he gives up all the details. It's a big book. But he gives a lot of details of what was going on. And he had a hard time getting it published, you know, because nobody wants to publish it, you know, exposing all these people. But he said that thing was, Gaddafi had a lot of gold, a lot of gold. And he said some of his friends that were still active in the CIA, they were bringing wheelbarrows of gold out of Gaddafi's underground.
You're talking about Saddam Hussein, though, I think. Not Gaddafi.
Oh, no, the Gaddafi one in Libya. That Reagan.
Oh, yeah, he was the leader of Libya. That's right.
Yeah, that was a Libya, the leader of Libya or whatever it was. But he said he had a lot of gold.
They're all getting money from us. And again, it's just insane. And a lot of those Middle East countries, they got that oil.
But here's a question I've been asked about all this debt that we have. We don't owe the Fed nothing. It's all paper money. There's nothing of value attached to that paper money. Just tell them to take a high dive in a shell. What's this brainwash over in debt $23 trillion?
We are paying for their wars, and we're paying for all of the necessary organization to destroy America, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What are we paying at?
I have a lot to say about that, but we're kind of running out of time. We're way overboard.
So, anyway,
4 minutes.
I'm just kind of curious as to how are they blowing smoke up our pan, like some more brainwashing that we have all this debt? It's all created with just printing money. And what are they doing with the money? Are they buying gold?
They're not educated to understand this. They don't know. They don't understand it. They're starting to understand it. You know, people who are becoming informed understand it, but we don't have enough people that really understand it. But it's about to be understandable by a lot of people real soon.
Question I've been asking for years. So it's just that all this debt, baloney, just filed bankers. Said, go ahead, collect it if you want. Go cash in all your $100 bills.
Well, you know, again, I have a lot to say about that, but maybe we'll talk another Monday. But we got to close down now.
Okay. All right. No problem. Talk to you. Thanks for taking my question. All right. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
For the call.
Have a good night.
You too. All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Again, we have other things going on, and next week we'll update the calendar, and I know we have prayer meetings on Tuesday. We have Bible studies on Wednesday and Thursday. And, of course, Monday. I don't know what else we have going, but there are other things that are going on, and we'll have to update the calendar. And you can see the calendar will be on the right-hand side.
I can see that there. Yeah, you're showing it. Good. Yeah. I'll get into that. Okay. So Jan will get a hold of me then about the leadership thing that we talked about, or should I call Jan?
I think he's listening in, but if he missed you, just send him a note. Ask him to give you a call. Make sure you put your phone number in there. Tell him what you're looking for.
I will do that. Do you have that number, that guy from Texas? I'd like to give him a call to see what he's been doing for community safety, so that he's been doing, just to get some of his feedback, how he's recruiting.
You're talking about Alvin doesn't have anything going yet. Which guy are you talking about?
Well, the guy that you were talking to, Alvin, but then another guy who wanted Alvin to have his number so he could contact him.
Yeah,
if you go 304 something.
Yeah, if you go to the directory here, click on the directory on the blue tab, you come down. He's in District 7. Anthony is 304-716-6393. He's on our directory.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. All right, got to go. All right, bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.